Hello and welcome to El Vinilo, the podcast that looks at the greatest albums of all time and compares them to music today. This is episode 118 and the final episode in our list.
Stop it.
My name is Matt, and with me, if there was a list of the greatest of all time, they would be number one and two in the list. But who's number one and who's number two?
Causing division right till the very end.
It's like a sweet statement, but then you twist it at the end.
Matt, you would be number one.
Stop it.
Mm. We would be joint second.
Not true.
Guys, I'm actually so sad. I'm going to write to them and tell them to produce a new list.
Imagine if they'd have come out with one like literally this morning as we're recording this, go, guys, new shit.
Yeah, oh no, what are we going to do? Well, to say, this is the final in the list, but it's not the final ever episode.
Oh my gosh.
What?
We're going to do an extra episode next week.
After dark.
The long awaited. Oh, it's going to be After Dark. We're going to have a special guest quiz. Ooh. It's going to be
The quiz is back.
We're going to talk about our Hall of Fame greatest albums. Matt's going to have to do some admin that he's been putting off for 3 years, which is going to be absolutely terrible. And we're going to have a good time. And we'll talk about some albums that didn't make it that we thought should have made it.
Mm. I might need to retrospectively add some things to my Hall of Fame.
Oh, no.
There's a chance there's like one album in my Hall of Fame.
I'll have a look, but I think that's probably true, yeah.
Real, but then maybe that's just the case. That's just real. Mm. Keep it real.
You know, you got to be honest.
You're
not a music fan? Mm. We thought you were.
Be honest.
You
know?
When we invited you to this, we thought you were
not true. No, I'm joking. Oh, yeah? You guys all right?
Yeah.
I'm okay. Soldiering on.
I'd love it if you just kept that persona for the whole episode.
Just cried start to finish.
I really like this album.
It really touched me in a good way.
I thought this should be number 73, not number one. Brilliant. Well, we're going to talk about What's Going On by Marvin Gaye.
What is going on?
What's going on?
I ask myself that question every day.
It could also almost be like the subtitle of the podcast. What's going on? What the hell is going on?
Is the album not Let's Get It On?
Let's Get It On was after this.
Oh,
like
great.
As a single?
Stop
guys.
Have you listened to the wrong album?
The album.
The album's called What's
Going On.
You listened to the wrong album.
Has he got an album called Let's Get It On?
Maybe.
I'm not sure. Chris, this is such this is such a great thing to do.
I love that.
Stop it, he has as well.
He has as well.
Stop it! Oh my day!
I could only be on the last episode.
that is the most last episode.
I thought you were doing
thing.
That thing where you changed the name of everything because. Like,
why do I do that? Well, because I'm dyslexic.
Like Whiskey Tennessee. I thought it was like,
Matt's
just because
you're dyslexic.
Just because I can't read. It's not part of my character.
It's not a part of you.
Yeah, it's not. Well, so see how you gaslit me then? I tell you, that is unbelievable.
Guys, Let's Get It On is a great album if you want to talk about that.
It came out 2 years after this as well.
You're gonna have to tell me what you think, guys, because I got nothing to say.
Stop it.
It's so funny that we got to the last one.
I literally
listened to the wrong album. It's the least professional podcast of all time. That is amazing. Grace, in a few words, what did you think of Let's Get It On?
What did I think? I loved it. I think Marvin Gaye's great. that voice, beautiful mix of rough and smooth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a talented man. The saxophone all throughout sounded exceptional. If there's a saxophone in this, I believe it sounded great.
I think there's less saxophone in this. Definitely less.
That album was produced and mixed really well, real clean, really aged well.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about What's Going On?
Well, we won't look at 1973.
We're
in 1971.
Let's cast your mind back.
To be honest, if it's anyone's fault, it's Marvin's fault.
Yeah.
They're very similar names.
Very similar.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Let's get it on.
Yeah. Let's get it on. How many ons do you want?
I know.
What's going on?
Why are you getting anywhere?
Just move on.
Come on, Marvin.
Let's get it on.
Marvin. Okay.
Come on.
71. I think we've talked about 71 before.
Oh, yeah, we talked about loads.
Plenty of time. So I tried to find some more facts. I only found two.
You can't reinvent the wheel at this point. Can't reinvent the wheel.
But I did find some birthdays. Again, I think we may have gone through birthdays. So, two fun facts. One, American astronaut Alan Shepard is the first to hit a golf ball on the moon. Good fun. Why not?
Once again, though. But did he really?
It was.
I think we'd gone to the moon at this point.
Did 71. He hit a golf ball in front of a green screen?
We've all done that when we've been to the
golf simulator.
Yeah.
And Tom Jones's cover of Paul Anka's "She's a Lady" goes gold. Mm. Anyone heard?
Goes gold.
Anyone
goes gold.
Anyone heard Tom Jones's cover of Paul Anka's "She's a Lady"? She's a lady.
Oh yeah.
I really thought that was Tom Jones' song. So
but, me too. But now apparently Paul Anka.
Wow.
Could I tell you any of other Paul Anka songs? No, I couldn't.
Tom Jones
covered
it.
Tom Jones though.
What's that one? Those 90s raunchy ones. What were they?
Oh, Sex Bomb.
Sex Bomb. I'm a fan, you know.
You're my Sex Bomb.
I reckon deep down, if we think about it, he's probably a dodgy guy.
Nah, he was just a sex machine. He was just... Tom Jones back in the day was just giving it out left, right,
sex
and centre.
Pest. To who, though?
Was he...
To anyone.
Was he... Burning Down the House, was that one? That he did.
Sing it.
Burning Down a House.
I think he probably did do a cover of it.
His Talking Head song, and he did a cover with like Cass Attorney or someone. This is deep, like.
I think he did. That's deep Wales. That is proper Southern Wales.
Love the Welsh.
Yeah.
To be fair. Don't like that woman from Cass Attorney, though. She does my head in.
She had an affair with someone on Our Celebrity, right?
Really?
I think so, yeah.
What, on the show? Oh, they were on Am I Celeb.
And then they were like flirting away and he was married and stuff.
Oh, I think it.
I think that's right.
Live television.
I don't know. How can you get away with that?
The audacity.
The gall, the gumption.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, mad. But yeah.
The cardigans. Sorry.
The cardigans.
Not Castonia. Oh, but she was the woman that had an affair in the jungle. But she didn't, but she did.
But if you're talking about cardigans, love fool.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's a tune. Mm. But yeah, the raunchy 90s. What else did he do? Mama Tom in Africa.
I'm going to start listening to that stuff.
Mate, Tom Jones is actually really good.
He's still got a good voice.
Mm. He does.
He can still do it.
He's one of them where he will tell you that he sang with Elvis. Or he met Elvis. He's one of them. We can't help but bring it up. You ever watched The Voice? Name drops all over the place. But there's really... He had a TV show in the mid-60s. It was Colour. And he's there singing with Stevie Wonder and like all these really famous Americans. It's really good.
He's done it all.
Nice.
Does it all. And he has some mad dance moves. So anyway, and of course, it's not unusual. Absolutely banging tune.
And just to say, as soon as we talked about Burning Down the House,
yeah,
the Talking Heads are just the best. So I just got
to
say it.
I've not listened to them as much, but
they're amazing.
I don't think they appear on this list.
They were on it. We did Remain in Lights.
Oh, we did.
I've listened to them as much as I've listened to What's Going On.
But they're a classic, like, the single is better than the album kind of thing. And people will shoot you down for that.
Kind of like last week's episode with Beach Boys. Go listen to that episode.
Robins.
Yep. Anyway, some people who were born in 71.
That's right. That's cool.
Big names. Mary J. Blige.
Wow, madness.
Big name. Sean Austin.
So hold on, how old are you if you're born in 1971?
53.
Who's Sean Austin?
Sean Austin, also known as Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. He was also in the Goonies.
Okay, sorry.
Goonies Never Say Die.
Was he?
Yeah. Mm. He's one of those child actors that didn't go over the edge.
Oh.
He's all right.
Aww. Yeah. Success story.
Sean Austin's lovely. He seems great. And he's like proper nice to fans, it seems. Aww. So.
Related to Steve Austin.
Okay. Don't think he's related to the one named Stone Cold.
Don't ask me these questions.
I'm going to hell yeah. Mate.
That would be
I'm
going
to try and watch WrestleMania because
yeah,
The Rock's
good,
back.
You know. I know, I've been watching it.
I need to watch it. I love wrestling.
I did watch The Royal Rumble.
Rock.
Did you? The Rock's back.
He's back.
Yeah,
he's back.
As a
heel, though.
Yeah.
Spicy.
Which is what he's good at. I don't like face Rock. I like heel.
It's both in it, but
what
it's
is
crazy.
A heel? Need
to... So a face is someone who's like the fan's favourite.
Right.
And a heel is like the bad guy. The bad you know. But it's go on.
Oh, no, go on.
No, you go.
New podcast idea. We talk about wrestling We tell great stories about wrestling. So great, it's not wrestling. Basically, it's an hour.
I just don't think Stone Cold in 1999 is all he's cracked up to be.
It's basically a mansplaining wrestling show.
That's your idea of hell. Yeah. You would hate.
It's a lot of people's idea of hell. I don't think it's my idea. Yeah, a pop is wet. No, I'm joking. A bump. So yeah, not related.
Your candy ass is
a candy ass jabroni. Austin 316 says, "I just whooped your candy ass."
I got an Austin 316 t-shirt that I wear for church.
Is right.
I love it.
I think I need to get myself.
And people say, "What does Austin 316 mean?" It was at a conference in Texas. Like a Christian conference. And I'm like, no, it means I just whipped your ass.
You're talking about your Psalms and your Dawn 316. Austin 316 says, I just whooped your candy ass. So good.
What's the...
So good.
So good. So good.
Who else is born?
Ewan McGregor.
Stop it.
Yeah. Obi-Wan Kenobi with the flowy brown ruby. We love that man. Absolute legend. Also great singing voice. If you ever watched Moulin Rouge.
Really?
Not interested.
He's the lead in Moulin Rouge.
Stop it.
Yeah. The Elephant Medley, that's him. He's flipping phenomenal in that.
Oh my gosh,
he's the
is.
One who sings In the Name of Love in a bit too high register.
Stop it.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, are you?
That's mad. Nah, Moulin Rouge is a rogue little film.
I've never watched it, but I love that medley and I've listened
You've
to that
You've never
medley.
Watched it? You should
but,
watch it.
I think
what,
I may
Chicago?
Have No, never watched Chicago.
Adam, you'd like Chicago.
I've never what seen either of them.
Moulin Rouge, Chicago, and then what's the other one? There's another burlesque.
Burlesque? Is it burlesque?
Maybe.
I love that film. That's an excellent film.
Is it?
Excellent.
There you go. There's another one that's like Chicago, but not Chicago.
But have you seen...
Do not miss.
Have you seen Star Wars Episode 3?
Stop it.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, of course I have. Sat through it multiple times.
I've heard the audiobook of Star Wars Episode 3.
Amazing.
Sorry, that's all I've got for 71.
So good. There you go. You want to know some albums?
Yes.
Right. So.
Not Let's Get It On.
That's still funny, though.
Oh, Grace.
So we actually did this a few weeks ago, but here we are again anyway. Mm. Janis Joplin, Pearl.
Oh, nice.
Amazing album.
Great voice.
Nick Drake, Breather Later. James Taylor. Mudslide Slim and the Blue Horizon. Ooh. Yeah. Are you James Taylor?
I love his guitar playing. His voice grates on me a little bit.
His voice is bad.
I feel like people love to say they love James Taylor. But you've not really listened to James Taylor.
Don't like what he did to Carole King or the other woman. Not the other woman.
Joni Mitchell.
No.
Oh.
The other woman.
He did do stuff with both.
Nobody does it better.
Carole King is Carole King.
That's not Carole King, is it?
No.
You walk on the yacht. You're so vain. You probably think something was about you. Carly Simon.
Oh, yeah.
He was a bit of a dick to her, apparently.
Was he?
Yeah. He's not a nice person. He was, but then he was a heroin addict or something, wasn't he, sir?
Yeah.
We've all done horrible stuff on the smack.
We've all done heroin, you know.
You know? Chasing the Dragon.
Talking about drug addicts.
Yep.
The Doors, LA Woman, was released.
I think in 71, he left.
He died.
America, yeah. And he went to Paris or whatever and then was never seen again.
He died in the bath.
He left America and the world.
Mm. Wow. In Paris.
In the bath. He drowned.
Yeah.
Like Whitney's daughter.
And then Whitney's daughter. I don't know.
What? They died in the bath.
That's how Whitney died, yeah?
He didn't die. He didn't drown.
Oh, right.
Maybe he did.
Oh, I don't know. I just know that's what happened.
I just thought he was found. I guess if he found it. I don't know. Listen. Don't know.
Something happened. He's dead.
Rolling Stone, Sticky Fingers.
Get him.
That came out. That wasn't anything to do with the bath. Paul and Linda McCartney, Ram.
Oh, Ram. Such a good album.
Yeah. Rod Stewart, Every Picture Tells a Story. Anyone into Rod Stewart here?
Stewart?
I'm not.
I like his voice.
I always think Rod Stewart is the actor. Is there a Rob Stewart? Who's the Welsh guy in Gavin and Stacey?
Rob Brydon?
Rob Brydon. That's who I think of when I think of Rod Stewart.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that?
You should listen to some Rod Stewart then.
If you think I'm sick.
Now imagine Rob Brydon
singing that.
The greatest album of all time, Blue by Joni Mitchell. Come on.
That was a good album.
Isaac Hayes, Shaft.
Who is the man? Shaft.
I only said it because I knew Adam would do that.
Shut your mouth.
Give us a sample for every one of these, please.
Master of Reality, Black Sabbath.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know. I just imagine it'd be quiet.
This next one's going to be the best one, Grace, you ready? The Who, who's next?
Ted. Absolutely Ted.
T-Rex, Electric Warrior. Oh. Don McLean, American Pie. Oh, Cat God. Stevens, Teaser, and the Firecat.
He's got mad names for his albums, hasn't he? Yep. Like T for the Tillerman. What are you doing, Yusuf?
Hall of Fame for most of us. Imagine John Lennon.
For most of us.
For most of us.
Saying no names.
That was very pointed.
Very pointed.
I didn't mean to be that pointed. Sly and the Family Stone, there's a riot going on.
Ah, what are the early ones then?
Yeah, come on. Led Zeppelin 4. So good. Nielsen Schmielsen by Harry Nielsen.
I think I've got that on vinyl. Yeah. You got it for me.
Schmielsen.
Nielsen Schmielsen.
I love Nielsen.
This is a spoiler for next week. This is the greatest album of all time. I'm not joking.
It's a good album.
This Nielsen is the greatest.
Everybody's talking. Album. That's Nielsen, isn't it?
Yeah, not off this album.
Not off this album.
Yeah.
Great album.
Put the lime and the coconut. That's off that album. No. Put the
is lime. It?
Yeah. Come on.
I have listened to this album. I'm sure.
Nielsen Schmielsen. You got to go and listen to it.
That's hilarious. Harry Nielsen.
Amazing. The Kinks, Must Well, Hillbillies, obviously. David Bowie, Hunky Dory.
Good album.
George Harrison, The Concert for Bangladesh.
Graham.
And there we go. That's a lot of great albums, right?
Yeah.
Come on. Adam's looking through his back. Wow. He just pulls out.
I've never listened to it. I've never even opened it, but it's like a full-on box set. I probably should.
I think
it's sealed and everything. You could sell that for a lot.
I don't know if this is true, Adam, but
got it for free.
Oh.
I think they're quite rare, you know.
Stop.
And that's what I'm gonna retire from.
Wow. Google it right now. How much is it?
Well, I'm part of, this is really bad, I'm part of a Show Your Beatles collection Facebook group.
Oh, yeah, remember this guy.
People in the middle, Aggie people. Yeah. I've talked about this already.
I think so.
So I might put that on and just be like, hey, guys, look what I've got.
Look what I've got.
And everyone will be like, it's fake, it's fake.
Oh, yeah, well, it would be, that definitely is a 1986 re-release.
It's a re-release. They were going mad about this Paul McCartney bass. It's not real, it's not real. Where's your evidence? Where's your source? Shut up.
These people.
Adam, 225 quid.
He was hoping for 200,000.
Yeah. I have.
Sorry, I was hoping it could pay off my mortgage that I've only just got.
But this might be a different kind of one.
It might be. You got to look at the back.
Yeah, but to be fair, it needs to have, I'm assuming there'll be like inserts and stuff.
It's got
to
be good quality as well.
It's got to be not scratched, too.
Anyway,
sorry.
Look at that one.
We digress.
Yeah.
We're just stalling because I haven't really listened to songs.
You trying to listen to it as we're talking.
Yeah, we always put them on. So we're nearly halfway through now, so you've probably listened to all of it. So what's going on? Mm. Is the 11th studio album. Another 11th studio album. We've had a few of them. Maybe 11 is the number we need to get
to. Golden number.
Yeah. Maybe our 11th episode.
I was just going to say, let's listen to the
11th. Was where we peaked.
Oh. You know what? I'm going to call now. The 11th episode was what we brought based on.
Come on. Imagine.
I don't think it is.
I think you were going for a little while longer.
The glory days.
Not at all.
So what's going on was the 11th studio album by American soul singer Marvin Gaye. It was released on May the 21st, 1971 by Motown Records, a subsidiary label for Tamla.
Tamla.
Yeah. Recorded between 1970 and 1971 in sessions in Hitsville, USA, Golden World, and the United Sound Studios in Detroit, and the Sound Factory in West Hollywood, California. It was Gaye's first album to credit him as producer and credit Motown's in-house session musicians known as the Funk Brothers.
Legends. The Funk Brothers.
Yeah. By the end of the 1960s, Marvin Gaye had fallen into a deep depression following the brain tumor diagnosis of his Motown singer partner, Tammy Terrell.
Great songs.
Are they good?
Some of Marvin Gaye's best work is his duets with anyone.
With other people.
Master of it.
He also was going through the failure of his marriage to Anna Gordy. He had a growing dependency on cocaine, troubles with IRS, and struggles with Motown Records. The label had signed he had signed with in 1961. One night while holed up in a Detroit apartment, Gaye attempted suicide with a handgun, only to be stopped by Berry Gordy's father. Gaye started to experience more international success around the time of both as a solo artist with his hits I Heard It Through the Grapevine and Too Busy Thinking About My Baby, and as a dual artist with Tammy Terrell. But Gaye said during this time he felt like he didn't deserve his success, and he felt like a puppet in Berry's puppets, which is a funny line, Anna's puppets. And so in 1917, Gaye's singing partner Terrell died of a brain tumour, which is really sad. The singer responded to Terrell's death by refusing to perform on stage for several years. In January 1970, Motown released Gaye's next studio album, The Way Love Is, but Gaye refused to promote the album, choosing to stay at home. During this secluded period, Gaye ditched his previous clean-cut image, decided to grow a beard, and preferred to wear sweatsuits instead of dress suits and sweaters. Mm. And at this time, he got back in touch with his spirituality, which we hear on this album, and he also began to pursue a career in American football.
What?
Which is rogue, isn't it?
Yeah, loads going on.
Yeah, and he was like...
What's going on?
He was with the professional team, Detroit Lions, and only stopped because the manager of the football team told him that if he got injured, it would stop him in his musical career. Like, it might stop him being able to do stuff.
He stops.
Yeah, so he stops, which is mad. So this is like a deeply traumatic, bad time for Marvin Gaye leading up to this point. Mm. But is what is about to be and already is like such a successful and like an artistic, just like not renaissance. I guess it's a renaissance because it's been going for a long time, but just like, purple patch. I don't know. Mm. That's a bit cliche to say, but do you know what I mean? He just
comes into his own.
Yeah, something different. So, amongst all the bad stuff, there's this amazing, just like flourishing is the word. So there we go.
Yeah, it's a good word.
Adam.
Yeah.
Chris hasn't listened to the album.
Well, apparently so.
Tell me.
So, what would you like to say about
it? I'd like to start off by not talking about Marvin Gaye, but talking about Berry Gordy.
Yeah.
Who founded Motown. Mm-hmm, love Berry Gordy. So, first of all, Berry Gordy didn't like the album when it first came out. So, like, because he was like, this is like the worst thing I've ever heard. He disputes that. He's like, I didn't say that. What I meant was it was a bit unpolished and a bit jazzy. And I tried to run a jazz record store and it failed. So, do better. But
I don't think it sounds unpolished. I think it sounds so polished.
I think they then went into the studio and worked on it. Okay. It was when Marvin first, like, talks. But what I really want to talk about with Berry Gordy, and I only found this out the other like week. Do you know who one of Berry Gordy's sons is?
That's not
Berry Gordy had a lot of kids. One with Diana Ross. Did not know that either. But his youngest child, guess who is young? You'll never get it in a million years.
This isn't where I thought
someone
this was going.
No, I know. I'm sorry. It's a big tangent.
Well, no. Well, I thought we were going to talk about Beyonce. Because Beyonce is related to Berry Gordy.
Really?
Somehow, yeah.
Mad. He's also related to Jimmy Carter, one of the presidents of the US. But that's
what is going on?
Berry Gordy's related to everyone. But Berry Gordy's son, who do you think it is? And his grandson, one of his grandsons as well.
Whitney Houston.
No.
Son.
I thought you were asking who the mum is. Sorry, what?
No.
Sorry, who's his son?
Who is his son? And who's what was his son famous for?
Oh.
You'll never get it. Literally never get it.
I'm going to say it's not musical.
It is musical.
Oh, I'm going to say it's musical.
But Berry Gordy discovered Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, like all the Jacksons. Right, Berry Gordy, one of the most famous people in music.
So who's his son?
Who's his son?
Proper
rogue. It's so rogue.
David Bowie.
No.
Is it like someone who's not good?
It's someone who's not good. But they had one, maybe two, like hits in the late 2000s.
Oh.
Early 2010s.
I was going to make the darkest joke, you know, but I don't... the first thing that came to head was Little Chris, you know, and I feel bad that we're talking about Little Chris.
Checking it out?
I know, but
love Little Chris.
He's dead, isn't he?
Yeah, and not American. This guy...
he's American.
Oh, I don't know.
It's not like Limp Bizkit or someone, is it?
It's proper rogue. Right, I'll tell
you. Go on. What if we don't know who this is?
His youngest son, his eighth and youngest child, is a son born to Nancy Leiviska. He is known by his stage name, Red Foo, as one member of the duo LMFAO.
Stop
the Everyday I'm Shuffling guy.
Stop.
He, the one with the afro. Wow. Right, but then I didn't even realize this. The other member is Skylar Gordy. He is the grandson of Gordy.
Wow.
So yeah, his two sons the same age.
Are the same guys who did the Everyday I'm
Madness.
So, yeah. And I'm like, when I heard that, I was like, sorry, what? This guy.
And that's well, just like he's paid for them to do that.
This guy found Motown.
Also, that's what I decided about Beyonce, you know. It's no wonder. She's been paid.
Yeah.
I knew she got in somehow.
That's what it is.
It's absolutely so rogue. And I love it. Anyway.
Can I just say one more family tree thing?
Yeah.
Did you know that Grace, you're going to hate this so much? I couldn't wait to tell
is
you.
Is that about the Beatles?
No, it's not. It's about Marvin Gaye.
Oh, excellent.
Marvin Gaye had a kid with, I think, a 16-year-old girl, basically. And then the kid...
How old was he?
What's going on?
He was 26. She was 16.
Oh, man.
And then she gave the baby up for him and his wife because they couldn't have a kid.
Hold on.
It's like a surrogate.
A surrogate. I think it's a 16-year-old. Oh, I can't remember now.
A lot of darkness.
He cheated on his wife with a 16-year-old.
He didn't cheat. It was planned. I mean, you know, but she knew about it. It was not cheating if she knows about it.
Well, she wasn't inseminated. Like, they had sex.
They had sex.
Stop.
I imagine it would have been difficult to get it through a hospital to inseminate a 16-year-old yeah. artificially.
So, here we go.
That's great.
Anna Gordy is the sister to Berry Gordy. Okay?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, not his daughter? Okay.
Denise Gordy, who was 16 at the time of birth, she is the niece of Berry Gordy.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So, who... I don't know who that is to... Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye's wife's daughter, who is the sister of Berry.
So he married Gordon Berry's wife.
Unless it's someone else's sister.
Well, yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah.
But so basically, Marvin Gaye's niece.
Yeah.
He had sex with his niece.
Shut up.
Had a kid.
Oh, mad. But not his blood niece.
No blood niece.
His married niece. His married niece.
No.
Just to have a kid. Wow.
Isn't that mad?
It is mad.
And do you want to know who that kid is? I don't actually have to. Donald Trump.
That
madness.
Is insane.
There you go.
That
isn't
is
that mad?
So it's all happening in
That's
Hitsville,
really
USA.
Really clouded my perception of him.
Yeah.
Let's get it on.
But what a voice.
He's a proper sex pest as well.
I don't think he is.
Because you've been listening to Let's Get It On. I think Let's Get It On and Sexual Healing, I think are massively misunderstood as songs. I think they're really, I don't think he's just saying it to anyone. He's saying it to lovers. Like, it's really
there's
intimate.
There's an intimacy.
And then there's one of the
especially
songs is about
healing.
How like they're breaking up and they don't love each other anymore, but let's have sex.
Oh yeah, I can't talk about that one. I don't know. But like Sexual Healing, I think is such a beautiful. It's like there's only one thing that can calm me down, and it's being intimate
having
with
sex
you.
With my niece.
I literally thought, Adam, you were saying that only thing that calms you down is listening to Sexual Healing. I was like, whoa, that's so rude.
It does, it's calm. Anyway,
nah, I can't.
Sorry,
get on board.
I only really told you that because it was goss, and it's just.
It's hot goss.
I can't get on board of that.
There's a lot of hot goss around Marvin Gaye.
That is banging.
It was rolling. Anyway, so what's going on? What an album, guys. This is good. So if you think about Marvin Gaye, he's a great singer. He's making, at this time in life, he's making a decent go at singing Motown love songs, gospel. I didn't realize he had this depression in Detroit Lions, but he's done really solid work. Work that if you were a musician, you'd be like, or a singer, you'd be like, yeah, I've done all right there.
Nice.
Had a few hit singles under my belt, been doing it for 10 years, probably made it a little bit of money. Nice. But then he, like, 180s, hates the state of the world because Vietnam's going on. There's horrific racial issues going on. He lives in Detroit, which is starting to really, really go down because of economic problems. And he just makes this super political album. That would be like career ending, I think, for a lot of people. If you had like, I don't know how best, like Justin Bieber at the height, he's done
he's done Baby, he's done all that, done all his world tours. He's now like doing his, instead of doing his Where Are You Now and all that stuff, he goes and makes this album about the state of the world and the economies and ecology and all that. You'd probably be like, well, that's his career gone. Yeah. Well, Marvin Gaye does it, and it's like this sensational album that's just full of really beautiful, really moving gospel and soul and stuff like that. And it's really
impactful.
It
doesn't like feel like solely political.
No.
It's not like punk political. It's no. like, it's, there's a holistic element to the whole thing.
And it's a bit like the title track, What's Going On, it's a bit of like a lament. It's like, what, guys, what are we all doing to each other?
And Mercy, Mercy Me.
Mercy, Mercy Me is so good. So there's like a particular, speaking of Mercy, Mercy Me, there's like a particular sound, like intro, like with the piano chords. I can't, some of my mummies, Matt, you probably understand it. But like the piano chords and stuff, that kind of runs through the album as like an intro to a lot of the songs. And I think that sounds so good because it sounds quite hopeful for a bunch of songs that are like, oh, Lord help us, we're killing each other and this is absolutely terrible. It sounds more hopeful than, so I think underneath all this sadness and lament is this hopeful, but it can get better. It will get better. Like, what's that? Like, Jesus is my friend. Something like that, God is my friend.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful song.
God is love.
God is love, that's one. And it's like, talk to Jesus, talk to God. He's my friend. He'll sort it all out. It's like, oh, amen. Amen, Pastor Marvin. So, like, one thing I really like about Marvin Gaye on this album is, like, speaking of the sound, the multi-layered vocal approach, which apparently was an accident. Yeah, so he asked the sound engineers, like, just bring me the two takes I've done of What's Going On, and I'll just, like, pick. But, like, the engineer messed it up and stacked them on top of each other, brought it to Marvin Gaye, and he was like, oh, I like the sound of that. And then they did it intentionally throughout the album. So, like, I love that. I think it sounds really good. His voice is so good, isn't it? It's so smooth and just so full of meaning. Just because, like, Heard It Through the Grapevine, which isn't on this album, but it's like probably one of the best vocal performances ever. Like, it just, but it's not a one-off. He can do it.
Yeah.
He does it throughout everything. The Funky Bunch, or whatever they're called, Funky Brothers, they're incredible. James Jameson, so drunk when he played the bass on this album. He had to lie down on the floor.
Stop it.
And like someone transcribed all the bass parts for him and he like played it on the floor because he couldn't sit. And like one of the sessions, so good. So I just think this is a real, don't know, like they say that 71 is like a big year for music, and I think this is top of that because it's really, it's again, it's music as a political art form, trying to say something, but it's not all the world's terrible, we're gonna burn. It's the world's terrible, we're all gonna burn, but there is hope in it, and we can get through if we just all believe in God and pray and stuff. So I really like it. The album sounds so good. Whatever those Motown guys, whatever they're smoking is fantastic. Whatever they're drinking, whatever they're doing, just is incredible. Because it sounds so, I don't know, the sound of this album is just like a one-off. I don't think anyone could recreate it. Like we were talking about with the Beach Boys last week, like Brian Wilson uses the sound as the studio as an instrument. I feel like they're doing this, but in just a different way. It's just,
I think it sounds, it doesn't, obviously, there's no car horns here.
No car horns.
Not one.
Which, but I think it's better. It is similar instrumentation.
Yeah.
Like a lot of strings.
A lot of flutes. Percussion in this though. The same percussion, album that I listen to. The percussion, stunning.
Yeah.
All sorts, but not annoyingly like Pet Sounds.
Not overpowering.
It's just, little sprinkles there and there to just be like, ooh.
And the bongos and the congas and all that stuff sounds great. Yeah. Sounds I need to get rid of, like, drums are sounds, you know what I mean? But a bit of this as well is lovely. Yeah. It sounds really great.
It's just, it's quite a warm sounding album and it's just lovely. So I loved it. I thought, this is like, peak humanity, peak art.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I think like there's like a there's artists we've been listening to who like release a load of albums that are like love albums or whatever, but there's no heart in it, and they release something else and do it a bit different, and it's just so special, and there's like heart involved, and like they talk about what they want to talk about, and their life is not the way they want, like they're really jaded, and they do this art, and it's really amazing. There's something really special about it, isn't there? And I think it sounds amazing. I've never really listened to Marvin Gaye. I know the song I Want You, and I love that song. That is just the best Marvin Gaye song. And or my favourite anyway. But I just thought this sounds amazing. Sounds pretty perfect.
Yeah.
And this isn't my genre of music, so like I don't think I'll ever really listen again intentionally. But I definitely like still think it's probably like a 5 out of 5 album. Like it just sounds flawless. It sounds amazing. And I love like the intentionality of the lyrics and how like he just pours his heart out into it, and like to be talking about the ecology of the world, like in the 70s when literally like the world has been in 2024, you know what I mean? Like and like people say stuff, oh well it's too late now, but if we'd have got ahead of it, well, Marvin Gaye was getting ahead of it. Do you know what I mean? He was like way ahead of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but nobody was really listening, to be honest. And I just think like it's just a very spiritual album, I think, actually. I just think it's really.
Did he ever
really
do anything
special
with Aretha Franklin?
No, I don't think he did.
I don't think so.
I feel like that would be a.
He did Diana Ross stuff. Did Diana they had Ross, an album together.
Yeah.
But no, not as far as I can see.
No.
Someone might be able to tell us differently.
Yeah, as far as I know, they didn't. But yeah, that would have been a miss. I think if he'd have lived, because Aretha Franklin had a bit of a renaissance in the late 80s because of Blues Brothers and stuff. Yeah. So I think they would have done something together, and it would have been great. But sadly, he was taking money.
Yeah.
Shot by his dad.
Because his dad was beating up his mum or something like that.
But then his dad, it turns out, had a brain tumor.
Ah.
And actually, like, He didn't even serve for it. He got 6 years for manslaughter.
Yeah, like a dead short sentence.
He was basically put in a home and stuff like that. But he didn't die till like 98 or something.
Wow. Yeah.
But like it turned out that he basically had this brain trauma that was making him do mad stuff. So
that's crazy.
Just crazy, isn't it? But definitely taken too early. And you know, I want to say it's a bit because we're talking about he's not around anymore, but he's a handsome fella, you know.
Mate.
He is a handsome fella. You know what I mean?
Good looking
guy. And with that beard, like, I preferred it, you know what I mean? Just like
that rugged look.
Yeah, honestly. But and he just like seems on top of like every time you see him, you want to dress like him. Every time you hear him, you'd love to sound like that. You know, when he's his lyrics, you're like, wow, I wish I could write lyrics like that. Everything about him, you're like,
so good. I don't think he sounds like anyone, else. Like Motown had some smooth singers, like mine's gone back now. But like Lionel Richie's got a great voice.
Well, Michael like Jackson, Otis Redding, you know, Sam Cooke. Yeah, we had all those
great voices, and I think Marvin Gaye's like top of all of them. I just think there's a tonality to his voice that is just so nice on the ear. I don't know what it is. There's probably some like magic frequency that he had or something like that. But
it's almost like it doesn't sound real. But
yeah.
It's like so.
And it all sounds effortless.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do too much.
It's perfect, but not inhuman. It's like, it's just perfect.
Yeah. It's so lovely. Just a one-off.
And that reverb on the vocals, everything about it is perfect, you know. Just like, I would love to just have that set, not when I'm writing stuff and recording stuff, and just like that sound is just unbelievable, really. I wonder how they got it, but yeah, amazing, really. Grace, any thoughts? I know you've been listening to it and you listen to a different album, but any thoughts overall?
It's very different to Let's Get It On.
Is it?
It is. Let's Get It On is very like, there's some Afro beats in there.
Nice.
It's very funk.
Nice. This is a bit more classic sound.
Yeah. I don't think there's any strings in the other one. So it's very different, but still that percussion. The clock, there's a there's a glockenspiel going on in this. It's just sounding stunning. Lovely, and whoever's playing piano, whoever's playing keys, incredibly talented. But I love it all. All the, like, every time you hear the saxophone, the horns, whatever you hear, not only is it played well, but I don't know what they're doing, but the production, it's 1971.
Yeah.
And the production's amazing.
It sounds almost better than anything that's...
It sounds so clean. So clean.
Oh, we like Imagine by John Lennon, but this wipes the floor with how that sounds.
Yeah.
It really does. And, like, I know it's a different genre of music. I know you get a different feel, but this just sounds... This sounds like it could have been recorded last week and you wouldn't... You wouldn't bat an eyelid.
This just sounds like a good Bath album, you know?
And a good Bath album. Come on. I don't bathe, but...
I don't bathe.
I don't bathe. Not in baths, anyway. So, brilliant. There we go. Man. Well, we're going to compare it to Little Sims... Drop 7, and we'll be back after this break.
To this short message.
Amazing. Welcome back to the podcast. We're going to talk about Drop 7 by Little Sims. And this is technically more of an EP than an album, really. But it's a 7-song. Is that right? It is 7 songs.
We can allow it.
Is it 7
songs? It's only 15 minutes.
Yeah, 7 songs.
Seven songs, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Wild.
We love a short song, right?
Love a short queen.
We love it. And so, we're going to talk about it. This isn't the first time that she's released an EP. She's quite used to releasing them. So historically, the Drops series of EPs has served a more of a platform to express her more immediate creative thoughts and inner feelings, parallel to and sometimes in concert with...
Like she's just dropping them.
Yeah, her fully released, full-length projects.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, we love that. Who's the... Have you ever heard of Tierra Whack? Have you ever heard of her?
Yeah. I have, but why?
Because I've talked about her all the time.
I think it's because you're talking about her.
But she released an album and every song and it was 1 minute dead.
Mm.
1 minute dead. And the album was like 15 minutes.
It was
15 tracks, every one in 1 minute, bang. Nice. And it was amazing. And I love stuff like this, the concept of it. And I love hearing stuff like this. And it feels like even though... So when we listen to Sometimes I Might Be an Introvert... That was like a full album, big produced. And this is well produced and big. But because it's snapshots, like, it's a bit different, isn't it? I don't know. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. Obviously, I don't listen to this genre very often. But I think, you know, one of our criticisms about hip hop and rap and this genre is that in the past 10 years, it's pretty boring. And it's super subby. There's not much character or life to it.
Yeah.
It's a bit grotesque. Doesn't really talk about anything in much more detail than just crudeness, basically. Mm. But I find, like, Little Sims is, like, the shining light of this genre. It's just so fresh. It's got, like, those same sounds that you expect to hear, but in a really fresh way. And I just think it sounds really good. What did you guys think?
Grace, do you want to say?
Go on, Grace.
Because you've listened to this.
Because I've not had anything to say.
Because you've listened to this one.
I absolutely love it. I think the opening track, what is it? Mood Swings.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, straight away, she's like, bang.
Yeah, that's right.
An absolute banger. You can't not move to it. Whether you're like tapping your foot, you're like, oh, incredible. Every beat for every track is so catchy.
Mm.
Proper little earworms, proper get your attention. This isn't an album that you could just have on the background. This is like, as soon as it came on, you'd be like, oh, what's this? This is sick. And she can rap so well. She is sick. I'm actually a bit in love with her. But it's all really catchy. The lyrics, you know, can't lie, I had to like, Google them sometimes because she's that great of a rapper that I literally, you know, can't keep up. But so great.
Mm.
Really, really great lyrics. Actually got something to say rather than like, F that, F
it's
this.
It's just a bit fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I feel like I'm acutely aware of my white Britishness listening to this album. But I'm just loving it. And I feel like it leaves you wanting more because it's an EP. You're like, hold on, even like that one song, I want that to be longer. Oh, mm. I wish I'd carried that on. I wish there was more, and I wish it was a whole album. All of them, great. None of them skippers. I mean, yeah, it's that short. You can't really skip anyway. There would be nothing left. But Fever and SOS, I think, are my highlights. And Power. Oh, do you know what? There's so much of it. And she knows how to use a cowbell.
Come on.
So many people need lessons in how to use a cowbell. Wind their necks in, stop this hitting the cowbell.
This is how you use it. You get it and you stick it straight in the bin.
But it's just like hardly, it's just used to add to the music every now and again.
We'll sprinkle it.
A bit like Marvin Gaye. Love sprinkle it. In that percussion. Mm. Use it intelligently. I really respect that, you know. Respect the cowbell.
Respect the cowbell.
I just love it. Great lyrics, great beats. It just makes me feel happy. It's a good positive vibes.
Mm. Really great.
Love it.
What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, I like it. What I like about this, and it's like the drop kind of aesthetic to it, is it's pretty much like what we all do. We have a notes app or a voice app. And we might like, I've got an idea for a song and put that in. But it's like she's done that and then made a whole actually like gone and produced them. And I feel like, and I mean this in a good way, I feel like there's not a ton of effort, and I could be wrong, ton of effort put into it. But like in a good way, like it's not overproduced.
It's like snapshot-like.
Snapshot-like, yeah. And it's like, this is what I was thinking, feeling in the moment, bang, here it is, straight out of my brain onto the
like word vomit,
record.
Music vomit.
Yeah, but still done in a high-quality way.
Yeah. Mm.
Not overly done, not overly thought over, because, you know, you're too close to the coal face and you lose sight of what you're doing. So yeah, I enjoyed that. 15 minutes. We all love that. Sometimes we just want a quick.
Yeah.
A quick little something, you know. I say release this as a four-track 43 vinyl or whatever. Happy days. Yeah, be great. Or 45 rather. So I really enjoyed it. Like you say, the lyrics and the rapping's top quality. It's really fun. I like the, I can't remember what one is, the one where she speaks like Spanish in it. Fever. I like Fever. I like that. I like the fact it switches different languages. She's like fluent in like Portuguese or
I believe it.
Whatever it is, which is great.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. So a bit of multiculturalism going in there. So I just really enjoyed it. It was really quite refreshing. And it does leave you wanting more, like you say. So big up Little Sims, representing the UK.
Come on.
Absolutely smashing it. Best in the world.
I think one of the best things in the UK at the moment. Mm. Full stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Real exciting. Stop. Yeah, I thought this was really fresh, really good, really enjoyable. You know, I think she is getting the accolades she deserves, but I think it's well justified.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's never a problem. And it's not like super, she's hyped, but she's not like, I feel like some of that Stormzy stuff, when we look back, was a bit hyped.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair. And it was too hot, and it never lived up to the heat, you know. Yeah. And like, I'm not saying he won't, because I think he'll go on to still do great stuff. But we talked about this last week. It's hard to live up to the hype for too long. Because I feel like she's just on the great trajectory of like, we're releasing great stuff, we're doing great stuff.
Mm.
And it's not super serious either. It's like, here's my snapshot EP.
She's just having a great time.
Yeah, that's how it feels anyway. Yeah, so I really liked it. I really was a big fan. Really a big fan. What would you rather?
Now, it's difficult because I haven't listened to the first one.
So Little Sims.
But surely the influence of Marvin Gaye. I mean, I trust your descriptions of the album.
Yeah.
I trust that it was a good album. Yeah. Sounded great from that snapshot I heard then, you know. Yeah.
You should have trusted my opinion of the sound last week.
Oh,
that's the one I shouldn't have listened to.
Right. Wow. Yeah. So you'd rather go Marvin Gaye?
I guess so, yeah. I'll let you know next week after I've listened to it.
100% Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, I think I'm the same, but that's not any like anything
but
against.
I'd love to listen to this. Like,
yeah.
I will listen to this again.
I'll probably listen to this more.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, quick, simple, let's go. Yeah. I don't really listen to chilled out music that often.
This album could take you all the way home from here now. It's only 15 minutes.
Mm. It's right. Let's go.
Just a full Little Sims.
Let's go. Go quick.
Good.
Brilliant. Yeah, I agree. Mm. What would you rate the Marvin Gaye album, Adam?
A 5.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Wow. It's not Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, I think I'll put it in.
Wow.
I think it's, yeah, it's too, he's too good. He's too good. Too good, not him.
I'll let you know next week.
Yeah. Well, from what you hear, Grace, what would you?
I mean, it does sound pretty good. It's high. It would probably be in the high fours. Four points.
Ooh.
I'll tell you.
You know that I'm meant to be marking all these up this week. So this is...
I'll listen later and text
this. This is the worst time for you to not give me an actual answer. You could have done this any time over the past 4 years.
Put it as a 4 and then I'll give you my decimal point later.
Okay, 4 points something.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Brilliant. I would give it a 5.
Nice.
I think. It's not my thing, but I can appreciate it.
Mm. Yeah. Fair.
Do you think, this is just a bit of an aside, do you think it should be number one?
Mm. Again, I can't comment, but definitely the top 5 of this list, I think, should be different.
You think so?
It's tough, isn't it? Because we've all got our biases, you know. But no, we
should have said that at the beginning.
We should have said that. Because, like, you know, what, one man's number one is another man's number 50, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it definitely deserves to be up there. Culturally, as a reference in time, and it really is important.
Mm.
It means a lot to a lot of people in communities that we're not a part of, I imagine. Yeah. So that is important. And I think that's something to mention about when they revamped the list. They revamped the list with a purpose of let's move it away from what white guys in an office think. And I think that's important. We've not liked a lot of it, but for different people in different cultures and different communities, these albums, and especially Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, are really important and mean a lot to a lot of different generations. So for that reason, yeah, it probably does deserve to be number one.
Mm.
But is it your number one?
That I think was nice, but...
I think that is a fair answer.
It's
not even like a cop-out answer either. It's a good, that is a great answer.
It's a good reflection.
But in the 4 years, it was bound to happen to someone. It's not my number one now. My number one would probably be like Thriller. Because I think it's just one of the greatest sets of sound albums of all time.
Have we been doing this for 4 years?
Yeah.
Yes, it's 2020, yeah.
Stop it right now.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like 40.
Felt
like 40.
She's gonna cry. Yeah. So I thought you were gonna comment about me saying Thriller would be my number one. Like, don't come for me, Grace.
I thought that's what you got. Sorry. We've done this for 4 years just for you to say.
Michael Jackson.
I thought that's what you were saying.
I've learned nothing in these 4 years.
What about you, Mark?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said except for Thriller number one.
That's fair.
That's just not my bag. But I, you know, I've already said like Abbey Road or Pet Sounds would probably be number one.
Yeah.
Or Bloom. Yeah, those three are like, they're my everything.
Yeah.
In terms of music, you know what I mean? They are like,
they're my everything.
They're it, you know. It doesn't get any better than that. It's like the holy grail, so you know what I mean?
Joni Mitchell was in a good place. I agree with that.
Except for the fact that it was 3-2 low. Right. No, sick. Yeah.
You would have a full line of number ones if you did this list yourself.
I think I could do it, but I might change it the week after, but I could do it. But I tell you, hardly any on this list would be on it. I tell you. But not even like, it's not just like a cultural thing either. Like, some of the stuff we've listened to has been mad.
Yeah.
You know, like, even like that Talking Heads stuff I was saying before, I love Talking Heads. It's not a top 100 album.
Mm.
No, there's no, we talk about this before. There's no Queen. There's no, the amount of Jay-Z.
That is a crime. You know what I mean? The amount of Jay-Z.
It's just that insane.
Well, I think that's just because it's not our genre.
Yeah, but
and we're not in it. If you're in it, you're looking at it. Because like our genre is easy listening jazz. No, but I was like pop.
Yeah.
50s rock and roll, experimental French fusion or whatever. But you know, but if we were all diehard rap fans, like we listen to
we listened to Tupac and Biggie and nothing else, then we'd be like, yeah, no, to be fair, in greatest of all time, Jay-Z's up there. Because people have those conversations about the greatest rappers of all time, and Jay-Z is regularly up there. So I just think it's one of them, isn't it? Whereas we can't participate in that conversation, but we could probably all have a great conversation about greatest drummers.
But we can be more educated about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I think we are more educated now than we were a year ago.
So in every episode.
Come on. I've learned something about you, Grace, every episode.
I said this at the start. I was like, Matt thinks differently of me right now than he's going to think by the end.
It's not true. It's not true. You can have like, it's not the same, and I appreciate it's not the same, but you could have an academic point of view. And I can still say that Jay-Z is shit.
Hindsight's 20/20, you know.
You know what is that? Doesn't it? I'm going to go a bit wacky. It's a bit lived versus learned experience.
Right.
So like what we've, for the genres we don't listen to, like rap and other stuff like that, we've had to learn what that's like, and it's learned experience and learned knowledge about these.
So things. It's still different.
So it's different
through
from
the lens
people,
of our completely different experience.
Yeah, so it's different from those people who live it, and it's their lived experience. Yeah. And it's still valid, I think. It's not to discount that one's better than the other, because it's all valid information and valid opinion. But yeah, I just think it's the difference between lived and learned.
But you can't say that learned experience is over lived experience. I hear that.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd say that they're equal.
So you can't have it the other way either?
I don't think you can have it the other way, no. I think they're equal. But I think
we do that, is we say, we can't really have a say about this because we're not the best.
Yeah, maybe we do.
So I don't, but I don't know the answer. I'm just asking the
And
question,
that's the same reason why we have a lot of difference of opinions when I get annoyed about like men being idiots.
Yeah.
Because of my lived experience, that being different to yours.
Mm. Yeah, fair.
So we can't see.
Lived and learned.
Do you know what I mean?
And we've all come into this with a different thing. Mm. You know, so.
Yeah.
So actually, like, what you consider a great album is different than what I'm looking for when I'm considering a great album.
Very true.
Like, I think I can be a bit, like, purist. Like, I literally don't care about any of the, like anything that's going on outside of the art. You know what I mean? I don't care about what this person's doing.
Yeah.
I don't care about what they're even talking about. If it's great art, you know what I mean? Whereas you care about the way someone lives and what you know, what makes that happen, which I think is really admirable and right. But we all just have our own different things.
So, for sure.
And then put that three different opinions and then three people who have different backgrounds. I mean, not me and Adam have fairly similar backgrounds, seeing as we're brothers.
They're the same person.
But you know, we're all different, aren't we? Even though we may not be the most diverse group in the world.
I'm going to cry.
Why is it?
We can't end it. Oh my God.
Listen, can I next week? When you lose the quiz for one last time.
Nothing new will happen next week. Nothing new.
Amazing. Brilliant. Well, great. Anything else to say?
What a ride.
It's sad, isn't it? But it's sad, but it does feel good to reach the end of this list, doesn't it?
It does.
Because it's like, it's been something. It's
been a good journey. Didn't think it would ever happen.
I know.
So thank you.
Sometimes.
When the Rolling Stones produced yet another list.
Come back to
it. I ain't doing another one of these. I'll do it different. We'll do it different next time. I ain't doing a Rolling Stones list. No way. I've learned that none of them. Did you know that Beyonce got a vote on this and Taylor Swift and people like that?
Oh, they voted on it?
Yeah, they voted
on it. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's I literally know nothing about how they make the list.
So
they ask artists.
I thought it was just critics.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not. It's artists and critics. Mm. So if you're a notable artist.
Wow.
So
Beyonce and Taylor Swift.
Well, so she voted for her husband, didn't she? That's why he's on it so many times.
That's why it is.
Even people like Vampire Weekend will have got an option on whether they voted or like, you know, if you're somebody.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, this
anyone
whole like.
Is anyone.
Anyone can vote in the Grammys, right, if you've released music. Do you know that?
Right.
And so you have to release a certain amount and it has to be like actually published and then you sign up for it and then you can vote basically.
Oh, nice.
But there was a large group of people that voted on this stuff. Mm. But all I'm saying is if Beyonce did vote.
She voted a lot.
She voted a lot of Jay-Z in that list.
A lot of Jay-Z.
So, but yeah, so It's been interesting, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Good.
Clearly, he didn't vote a lot of her.
No.
Because she's been nowhere.
What would you expect? So... So this is the end of the list.
Oh.
It doesn't mean it's the end of the podcast forever.
Never.
So I don't know. We've got one episode next week.
Yeah. Mm.
The plan is to go on a bit of a hiatus.
Yeah.
Mm. You know.
Some of us are busier than others.
Well, I think we're all busy. You know, all got lives. I think all of our lives are way different than they were 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I am definitely more busy than I was 4 years ago. Yeah. You know? I mean, especially because we were in a pandemic.
Mm.
And so we're going to take a bit of a break after next week. We're going to do next week's. And then we're going to, you know,
we'll see
reevaluate, see what happens. And, you know, but it's been fun, hasn't it?
It's been good.
Grace, mate.
There's going to be a lot of tears next week, I think.
You got your speech ready?
Ready, yeah.
Oh,
more ready than I was for Marvin Gaye's album this week.
Oh, well, that's not hard.
That's good stuff.
Brilliant. Great. We hope you have a great week.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we'll see you one last time.
Oh, no, I'm joking.
Sorry.
One last time. I need to be the one.
We'll see you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.